Thank you, Reverend Yom. Our scripture today is taken from Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. It's the story of Paul, Saul, and Barnabas being commissioned and sent out to do the work of ministry. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them out. This is the word of God for the people of God. We're looking at guidance today and how God guided Paul and, of course, also Barnabas and others that he was with. Guidance is a big part of our lives. I was thinking about our students this past week, visiting at a number of open houses. The students were assigned a guidance counselor to help them navigate and to find their way through school. And I'm really impressed by the decisions that many of our students are making, the schools they're going to, and the things that they're doing to live out their faith in the world. In many ways, God gives us a guidance counselor, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we want to see how God guides us through Christ. This might be a day where you might want to take one of those little sermon note things, because I'm going to give you 4 points to know and seek God's guidance. You could probably add some to that, but these are very, very important points for our faith. Guidance is important for our families, our work, our church, our neighborhood, our world, our country, and God has guidance for us. Sometimes it's very difficult to know what to do, and sometimes it comes easy, sometimes it doesn't. But who should we listen to? What choice we should make is things that all of us think about every day. Sometimes it seems like, well, my goodness, I don't think I'll ever get guidance on this problem. But I'm here this morning to declare to you from this scripture, from how God worked in the New Testament and Old Testament, that God is able to guide us. I will tell you as a pastor that often I need guidance. I need God to lead, to speak to my heart, to give me understanding. There have been times where I faced an impasse and for a while, and I just didn't know what to do. Then there were other times where, whoo, you know, God's led and opened a door, and it was amazing. And we knew that we knew that we knew that this was what God was doing. So we all need guidance from the Lord. God, I believe, has guideposts for us. So I'm going to give you those 4 guideposts, and you can see that one there at the Grand Canyon. And how many have hiked the Grand Canyon? Very good. How many of you walked to the bottom and to the top? Bill, have you run to the bottom and the top? No, I'm going to say that's something for Bill Pritchett to do. But my son David did it, and I think he was jogging a little bit of the way, and he was with some real athletes. And he said, "Dad, I was getting to the last couple hours, and I didn't know if I was going to make it." But if he didn't follow the signs, if he didn't have enough water on the path and know how to navigate, it could have been real trouble. The Bible says, make it clear that God has signposts of guidance for us. Set up road markers for yourself. Make yourself signposts. Consider well the highway. Jeremiah 31:21. The people of God look to the Lord and for the guideposts God had for them. We have some great examples in Moses. And of course, God guided Moses through fire and cloud and through his voice. And that could be a whole sermon itself. But God led Moses from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. We come to the New Testament and we see Jesus being the guide, the prophet, the teacher, leading the 12 disciples, telling them what they needed to do and showing them how to do it, and then sending them out after his death and going into all the world. And we are here today because of the guidance that Jesus Christ gave to the first disciples and their faithfulness to follow the Lord. We're going to look at Paul now. Apostle Paul came a little bit later than the 12, but God used Paul in an incredible way. And Adam Hamilton says in his book about Paul that really God used him to transform the world like no one else. And so we're going to see how the Apostle Paul learns to follow God's guidance. Paul, at first, was on the wrong path. This gives me hope. Because if I'm on the wrong path, God can bring correction. And Jantz said it so well with the GPS. The GPS just keeps correcting you, correcting you, correcting you. Did you ever leave it on when it was gone someplace and you weren't gone there telling you to turn here? Turn that thing off. But anyways, God is able to direct us even if we're on the wrong path. Paul started out very zealous. He knew the law. He knew the traditions. He knew the scripture. He probably memorized a whole lot of it. But he thought Jesus was way out, and he thought his followers were a mess. And so he was persecuting them. He was killing them. He'd go into synagogues like this and arrest people and pull them out, just like the Gestapo, and torture them and put them to death. But God saw something in Paul, a sincerity that maybe others didn't see. And God grabbed a hold of him on the road to Damascus, and the famous message, "I saw the light," comes from Acts chapter 9. Paul saw the light. He heard Christ speak, and he said, Christ said to Paul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord? And you know, how am I persecuting you?" And the Lord explained, "You're destroying my people, and that's destroying me." And Jesus said, "Stay on this road, and I'm going to have somebody help you, and I'm going to show you the path you're going to go." And throughout his life, Paul followed carefully the will of God, and Christ guided him. But you know, as I think about Paul, was well-intentioned, but was on the wrong path. A lot of people are well-intentioned, but they're on the wrong path. When I watch the news, and I read things on the internet, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Google News, it's like, the end thing is to be profane. Journalism has become vicious on both sides. When do people say, "We're going to sit down, we're going to talk out our differences, we're going to be gracious and kind and understanding to one another"? When the church, when religious people become well-intentioned but on the wrong path, that's when it can really get bad. There are Christians around the world that are being persecuted for their faith by religious people. And sometimes we may think we have it all figured out, and we may criticize our fellow Christians, and we may be like Paul. We're fighting against God. As you know, we are in a time in the United Methodist Church is discerning God's guidance around our human sexuality. We have different views. We need to pray that God will guide us through the Word, through His Spirit, so we can continue to stay united as a church. Well, fast forward to our passage today. Paul has been following the Lord's guidance for years. He's gone to numerous cities to preach the gospel. He faces a lot of resistance. Just because you are resisted doesn't necessarily mean that you aren't doing God's will. It is said of Paul that wherever he went, there was either a revival or a riot. And in some cases, there was both. But if anybody changed the world, it was the Apostle Paul through the guidance God gave him. So now he is in Antioch, and there are a lot of cities out there, and they're trying to decide who should go where. Paul wants to be in the right place. Now, Paul knew the scriptures in the Old Testament, the promise that God would give direction. Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you and teach you the way that you should go." What a great promise. That's one we ought to have on a little card. "I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go." And to say to God, "God, I need you to instruct me and teach me today where I should go. God has a plan for us. The first, then, guidepost that I want to look at with you is prayer. You know, we talk about prayer all the time. We say, "I'm praying for you. You're in my prayers." But I think sometimes we are not as intentional and as focused and as committed to real significant prayer as we ought to be. And what we see with Paul and these companions here is an intentionality. They're going to worship, they're going to pray, and they're fasting. They are not going to stop until God speaks to them as to what they're doing. Fasting, friends, is really out of vogue in the Christian church, but we read about it in the New Testament a lot. And that's another whole subject we could talk about. And there are ways to fast, even if you can't do a full food fast. But God is pleased with this step. And they hear from God. When was the last time that you set aside hours or more than 5 minutes or days to keep a vigil? God, show me what you would have me do. I have found often that the thing that drives me to this kind of prayer is a sense of urgency and a sense that I just don't know what to do. All of us here, I'm sure, remember times when we were uncertain about how some problem would be worked out in our family, maybe with our children. Maybe we were uncertain about some of the friends our kids were hanging out with. Maybe one of your kids had a problem with a class in school or even in college. I told this story before, but it illustrates the need for trust. I remember when we first moved to a new school, we actually moved from Romulus to Grosse Pointe, and they said, you know, you're going to have to up your game a little bit with the kids from the new school district. And we said, okay. And I remember my son, and he had a little bit of extra, you know, like activity and... It's a long story. But anyways, he probably wouldn't want me to tell this story. But he was bright. But the teacher said, well, we think your son has ADD, and we don't think he's going to be able to learn like other children. Well, we were like, oh, my goodness. So we set ourselves to praying and seeking God. And I remember at that time, I would take many evenings through the week, and I would sit down with him, and I would go over the studies. And it just kept growing. And he kept learning, and he fell in love with learning, and he just went on, and he excelled, and finished up with the Eli Broad School of Business at that university that some of us love and some of us don't, MSU. But we prayed for all of our kids in every situation. It wasn't always easy. And I thank God for the gifts and skills, and I believe it's an answer to prayer and his guidance. Now my kids are starting to give guidance to me. They're saying, Dad, you ought to try this in the ministry. Yeah, it'd be different, something different. My daughter said, Dad, your PowerPoint needs some help. That's why I need help from Jance and others. But prayer, Jesus said, was to be a first priority in seeking God's will. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be open. Jesus said in Scripture, prayer is the first guidepost. You can write that down. Again, God spoke to Paul and his companions and said, here's where I want you to go and here's what I want you to do. And he and Barnabas went off to plant churches. I think as a congregation, we've been seeking God in prayer for the new vision God would give us. And the key to effective prayer is not just praying yourself, but enlisting others. There have been times when, and that's what happened in this passage, a group of them were focused, a small group were going to pray. And I've had situations where I haven't known what to do or where to go and where God was calling me, and I got groups of people praying, and God opened doors. First is prayer. Second, Scripture is a guidepost. Paul knew the word. His New Testament letters are full of quotes from the Old Testament. He was a student of the Torah. God spoke to Paul directly and gave him the Word of God because his writings were affirmed as the Word of God. I was in line buying some things at a grocery store, and the guy said, I like your wristband. I don't know how he knew what it was. But he must have had one himself. But it's a quote from Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that was one of the things that God gave Paul to tell us from the Word. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:10, when I am weak, then I am strong. And so many things that we live by. And in this situation, it seems that one of the persons was a prophet, and the word came to them in their prayer, this is what I want you to do. And so God guided Paul through the Word, and God is able to guide you and I. As pastors, and you have decisions to make too. You are in the workplace, and you have to decide. Maybe you're being called to go to another city, another state, and decisions have to be made. And a lot of people in the Dow system and DuPont come in, go out, come back. And so I know a lot of you have had to think about this too. But we as pastors have these moves. And I know for myself, I don't know how many Pastor Keyworth has had or Reverend Yum, but this is my seventh. And, you know, when you get a call, you're like, okay, God, you know. And I remember when I was in Detroit and I was youth and young adult minister, and I was just excited about ministering to the whole city and everything. And I had a young adult group that was like the United Nations, and wow, it was like amazing. And then the superintendent called and says, we're going to send you to Peck. I said, Peck? Where is that? And a little town of about 500 people over in the Thumb. And but I prayed, and it seemed that God was calling me. I served three churches, and that's where I met Carolyn. And God just did a lot of neat things there, and I'm so glad that I was there. And so you pray, and you discover, and you ask God to guide you through prayer and through the Word. And I want to tell you, there were times when God gave me a verse, to know that I was to go to someplace. Scripture says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. We need to learn the Word, to read it daily, and to look for the light it will give us. Thirdly, words of wisdom from others is a guidepost. Paul felt called to go to the Gentiles, but he needed to know to whom he was to go and when. Ananias helped him. Barnabas was a mentor to him. And other people also gave words to Paul. And then Paul became this mentor to many others. Like Paul, we have a dream for our lives too, don't we? We want to know that we are fulfilling our destiny, our purpose on earth. One of the things that they were doing along to hear the voice of God is they were praying, they were fasting, and the scripture says they were worshiping. It's when you and I are in prayer, we're in fellowship with others, and we're in the worship moments, these are often the times when God speaks to us through others. I met with Melene Wiltsey this week, the pastor at the New Heart Methodist Church, and she has such an incredible burden for the children and families in Saginaw. She said there is violence and sometimes murders around the church. She said we're seeking to be a safe haven. She's providing activities for youth who literally have no place to go except trouble. She's teaching people to cook, giving people a sense of self-worth, and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with them. One of the things I notice about Melene is that she listens to thoughts that others have, and she has over the years. And I believe that God is guiding this pastor, and the blessings, it could become the Cass Outreach of the North. God has words of wisdom for us through others. You can't just listen to everybody, because some people just say things that they feel, and it's not necessarily the guidance you need. You got to weigh it carefully. As God guided Paul and Barnabas and their companions, God wants to guide you and me. Let me ask you, where do you need guidance today? Just say to God, Lord, I need your guidance. Please direct me. Please instruct me. Make that your prayer. Look for wisdom from others. Look for verses to give you instruction. Friends, we need guidance so very much. And one of the places where we need guidance is the words that we speak. The scripture says a gentle answer turns away wrath. how we talk to people, how we respond to others. We may not even think it's that offensive, but we need to have God guide us in the use of our words. And one of the places where the tire really meets the road, and some people are really good at relating to others and connecting at work, whatever, but they have a tough time with their family. And family situations can be tough. To know what to say to our sister-in-laws and brothers and sisters and nephews and parents and all of this. And we need God's wisdom. I mean, especially when you get in a situation where a loved one has died, and then you're trying to decide how you take care of the estate and who gets the chair and who gets the table and how you do this and that. We need God's wisdom. We need God's guidance. And the last thing I want to look at with you, the last guidepost is open doors. Jesus said in Revelation 3:7, what he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. We must trust that God can open or close a door. That's what Paul did. He prayed all the time. On occasion, I've gotten up in the middle of the night, and maybe I wasn't in my own house. I was somewhere else, and I was a little confused, and it was real dark, and boom, I walked right into the door. Not a very nice experience. We need to let God open the door. What doors need to open for you? Ask God. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's your son or daughter. It's a youth trying to discern, a college student, their future. Maybe you're a young adult and you're trying to find the right person that you would marry. As a church, God has opened these doors we've shared about this morning. Our vacation Bible school, 1 week, one street. A gift home in Detroit. Ministry to Eastern Europe, Ecuador, Jamaica, Detroit. What a wonderful thing. Pray, read the word, talk to others, and wait for open doors and rely on the Holy Spirit. Friends, without Christ's guidance, we can really be lost. We were going to an open house yesterday, and I believe we were coming back Jefferson, and there were all these cars coming, and all of a sudden this deer just thread itself through three or four cars, and I'm like, oh my word, I can't believe that deer even got through that. And then we're looking at the deer, and she's standing over there, and I thought, well, maybe there's more, and here's a little fawn. Where's mama? Then where to go? I almost stopped the car, went out to try to keep that fawn from crossing the road. Of course, that would have messed up mother trying to get back, and I don't know whatever happened. But the point is this. We're like that little fawn in a world without our guide, Jesus Christ, our God, who knows the way, who knows the path, and we need to be led by him. We're going to close now on our last song.
Stand as you're able.